1 Peter 4, starting in verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, as every man hath received the gift, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, we're so thankful for this day, and Lord, you're so good to us. You bless us in so many different ways, and Lord, as we spend just a few minutes in your word, just help us to magnify you and to see you and to better understand just the things that you have done for us and the things that you would have us to do for you in obedience. Lord, we're just so thankful for your blessings. If there are any here that's lost, they'll just pray they'll come to know you as their Savior. Lord, just ask that you forgive me of the sins I've committed against thee. Ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this is part two. Happy New Year. I know we're a couple of weeks in here, into the new year, that's what we're going to be talking about. And in our text, we talked about the end of all things being at hand, and that word end is completion or conclusion to a goal that has been achieved, and God has a plan, and he will bring that all together. But the end of all things is at hand. Peter's saying it's close. Now, that was 2,000 years ago, right? But we looked at the verse, God counts time a little bit differently than we do. 1,000 years for God is like a day, so it's only been a couple of days since Jesus Christ resurrected and ascended, sitting at the second hand of the throne of God. But God has a plan, and a different translation, the time is near when all things will end. I really like the verse, want to remind us that even though, if you've seen any pictures of L.A., I grew up just north of L.A., went into L.A. for lots of reasons, Disneyland, Magic Mountain, see the Dodgers, to see the Rams, see the Angels, went down there for lots of reasons, lots of different things, but always left, right? But those places where I grew up and did, I mean, those are just fire. So pray for those people, right? We need to be praying for them. It is terrible. Those that are trying to put the fire out, those that have lost their homes. You know, for some people, this is what entering 2025 looks like. I pray that your going into this new year has been much better than that. Mine has been pretty good so far, but you know what? The rain falls upon all of us, right? But God can see us through whatever those trials are, and that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about today. And I just want to remind us, I really like these verses here. I know I read them last week. I'll try not to dwell too much on the stuff I did last week. But God is in control. Even if we don't think so, God has told us he is. He has a plan. And the end is getting closer. For God is the king of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God setteth upon the throne of his holiness. And so the end is at hand, it's near, it's coming. And so he says, therefore, because of this, that's what therefore means. Because it's close, there are some things that we should be doing. And we started talking about that last week. The very first thing that's going to happen in God's plan is Jesus is going to return, right? Watch therefore, be ready, also ready for in such hour you think not the Son of Man cometh. Be ready. And because of that, that's that therefore. So what should we be doing? And Peter gives us three things that we should be doing. And it's interesting, they're really simple. They are pray, they are love, and they are use the gifts and talents that God has given you. That's so simple, right? And I was thinking, I preached some of it last week, and I was thinking, you know, this is stuff, this is like the basic stuff. This is the easy stuff. But it's the execution of it. And I can tell you that just learning about prayer, when I was first saved and learned about prayer and, you know, lessons, and prayer is a lot more complex. There's a lot of different elements, loving one another, obedience. And one of the things I think Peter is saying is, I hope that you didn't pray. I've been saved since I was 13 years old, so if I can do the math, that's what, 50 years ago. And I hope that my prayer life has more complexity and more depth to it and better understanding than what it was 50 years ago. I hope it is better than what it was 20 years ago, because there's so much about prayer. And as you see things happening, it's interesting, you know, you pray and you think, okay, and then you're surprised when God does it. And I can tell you, I'm still sometimes surprised. I shouldn't be, but I am, because God is so amazing. And sometimes I pray and I have an expectation of this is what God's going to do, and he answers it in such a way that is much better than what I could ever have comprehended. Amen. Does that make sense? So when Peter says pray, it's like, okay, I pray, I ask a blessing, and I pray in the morning, I pray in the evening, and, you know, but there's all kinds of different prayers, supplication prayers, all kinds of different dealing with prayer and how we come to the Lord. And so the very first thing, and we talked about this last week, so I'm not going to dwell on it a lot, but praying seriously, and there's two different elements when he says prayer, right? Be therefore sober, and that means serious, and watch unto prayer. We should be praying. And he gives two things about prayer, and one is this serious, this being sober, be sincere and be earnest when we pray. It's interesting, Jesus, when he prayed in the garden, it says, and I've always found this interesting, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Now, did Jesus not pray first time earnestly? We know he did. The word here means intently. Jesus is getting ready to die. He understands the ramifications. And if Jesus prayed seriously, intently, then it behooves us. And sometimes my prayers are just a simple dialogue with God. Sometimes it has some intensity, some earnest to it. Paul, when he prayed three times for his thorn in the flesh, I think he was very earnest, very intent. God, get rid of this because I can be a better servant. But God says, my grace. And serving with grace is a good thing. We think we can do so much more our way, but trust me, we can accomplish more God's way. And Jesus is doing the same thing. He prayed three times, right? And asked his disciples, pray with me, pray for me. And they struggled, right? They fell asleep. Have you ever been praying and fall asleep? I have. Sometimes I pray while I'm driving. I've never prayed driving and fell asleep, fortunately, but I have. But that's okay to have an ongoing dialogue, but it's serious, it's important stuff. The second thing in dealing with this, I like the verse in Jeremiah, then shall they call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me. I will hearken. We pray unto the Lord. He's going to hear us. Ye shall seek me, find me. And when ye search for me with all your heart, intensity, right? Serious. It's a searching with his heart. We just don't say, okay, Lord, and like part of our life. God wants us to seriously seek him intently. search after him with all of our heart. God wants a relationship with us, and part of that relationship has to do with prayer. So when we pray, we need to be serious, be intent on our prayers, have a purpose for our prayers. And then the second thing Peter talks about our prayers is to watch, to be ready, to be mindful of what is going on in our life. Watch. You ever, I watched a couple of football games, and you watch intently, right? And I turn away and do something, and a big play happens, right? You ever watch water boiling, and you get tired, and you know, what is the saying? Watch pot, not, I don't know. You guys know it better than I do. But anyway, it's hard sometimes to always have, you know, readiness, right? But the Lord wants us to be ready, to be prepared, to be consistent and persistent in our prayer. Pray without ceasing. Continue instant in prayer. Always be, you know, when we have to pray, don't have 15 things you have to say, okay, Lord, I got to take care of this, this, and this, and now I can ask you. We should always be ready to communicate with our Lord and Savior and with our Father in heaven. So we talked about praying seriously. And the second thing he talks about, love fervently. And we talked a little bit about that. The first thing I just want to say is that above all things, it is the first thing. That's what he's saying. This is of ultimate priority. Should we pray, and is it important? Yes. But if you're going to let something slide a little bit, don't let love slide. That's the one that is so important. Jesus told the Pharisees, you should do one and not let the other slide. We can do more than one thing at a time in serving the Lord. But one of the most important things we do is charity. And the word there is agape, and it has to do with love. It's a sacrificial love, and it should be among us, and it should be fervent, with intent, love fervently, deeply. And then it talks about, above all things, Colossians also says it's of greatest importance. And then cover a multitude of sins. I talked about this just a little bit last week, and I want to touch on this. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Now, if somebody is overtaken in sin, Galatians 6, 1 and 2 talks about that. But we're talking about just little mix-ups, little things that people do to offend or to hurt our feelings. And charity shall cover a multitude of sins, or basically overlook and not hold everybody accountable. We are not the judge. We are not the convictor. It's not my job to convict somebody. Now, if somebody is overtaken in sin, we can and should come alongside them and help them with that. But sometimes we just need to allow people to be able to move on. It says this in 1 Corinthians 13, and I read all those verses, but one of them says, love beareth, or charity beareth all things. And the word there, actually, it means to roof over or to cover, which means our roof covers us. Charity covers, that's what it means. And so all the things that love does, it describes there in 1 Corinthians 13, it covers a multitude of sins. And that comes from the Old Testament verse. So here's the thing. Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, you love one another. Now, the Old Testament, they understood. Some came to Jesus and asked him about the commandments and stuff. What's the first commandment? What's the first commandment? What's the second commandment? Love thy neighbor as yourself, right? love one another. And then they get into the debate as, well, who's my neighbor, right? So do I have to, you know, the people on my street, are they my neighbor? Is the people in all of Hillsboro and all of Loa and all of Beaver, who's my neighbor? But Jesus says it like this, a new commandment have I given you, that ye love one another. Now, we know that we also have the command that not only are we love one another, that should be easy to love brothers and sisters in Christ. Is that always easy? Should be easy, but it's not always easy. But we also know we should love the world as God loves the world and want to see everybody be saved. And he says, love one another. And he's speaking to his disciples, specifically his church, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Did the disciples ever bicker? They did. They did. They got frustrated with one another. They got mad at one another at times. And I think Jesus is trying to show them, now, this is the 13th chapter, this is like the last day, this is in the upper room, and so Jesus knows that by the end of the night, he's going to be arrested by, you know, he's going to be killed before that day is over, and he's not going to be with the disciples, and he said, this is important, love one another. And here's the thing, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. See, that's the key. And so this love, it says, can overlook some sins. Now, who do you love the most? I can tell you that there's not like a most. I would put Joyce and my kids and grandkids. Okay, maybe grandkids, Joyce. Really, there. I mean, there's that family, right? And there's not one A, one B. They're just that lump, and you love them. And because they're different, you love them sometimes different, but you don't love them any more or any less. They're easy to love, right? I've got two of older grandkids living with us, Joe and Jeff, and are they perfect? No. Do I overlook mistakes? Every time Joe cooks, you have to overlook some mistakes. I asked him to wash, to clean. I think he needs a hearing aid. I don't know. But anyway, it's easy to overlook when we love someone, even if we need to have tough conversations, right? We can do that and still love them. But you know, this love covers a multitude of sins. I really think love one another, it's not just the ones that are easy to love. Now, sometimes there are people that come in your life that are hard to love. I once read a book and taught some lessons on it, how to deal with difficult people. And one of the things that I learned in that book is, and what is frustrating is, sometimes someone who frustrates me, that is hard for me to love, other people like, oh, they are the greatest. I'm like, no, they're not. And one of the things that is really important to understand, that the person that is hard for you to love, there's probably other people that just love that person to death. And that's the thing. And it's like, how can that be? That person is terrible. How can you love that person? But I think God brings those people into our life so we can learn this thing about loving one another, and that sin can cover a multitude of sins. I've told a story many, many years ago. This is way back when we were in the Carpenter's Hall. We had a lady, and I know God sent her to our church. Everybody else loved her. She frustrated me to death. And I would say something, and I felt like she was always being contradictory, and I felt she was being difficult. Other people are like, no. But you know what? It made me, because I understood that God wanted me to love her and to appreciate her. And, you know, sometimes we say, well, okay, God, I'll love her, but I won't, or I'll love him, but I won't like him, right? And I think that we should be able to learn And one of the things that I learned, first of all, I needed to get to know her better. What motivated her? Why was she doing those things? And when I better understood where she was coming from, she came from a place where there was some things that happened, former pastor and former stuff, and it made more sense. And once she got to know me better, and once I cut her some slack, once I was able to overlook what I saw as an offense, which wasn't necessarily a sin, but was pushing back against me, does that make sense? Or the church. Once I understood to give her a little room, it went much better. And overlooking some things. I think God wants us to love those that are hard to love. That's really the lesson. What about harsh words? Not holding people accountable for every word that is said. Anybody ever seen anything on Facebook that upsets you? Or TikTok, or I don't know what they are. The only one I know is Facebook. I know there's other things. And people are like, there's battles, wars going on Facebook. And it's like, can we just breathe? Can we just cut each other some slack? Allow each other? And sometimes, I can tell you, I have had some family members that have expressed things that have hurt people. And what I understand is that if you understood what that person is going through, you might understand what they're trying to say. And not that we would agree, but we might understand where they may be coming from. So harsh words, we don't have to react. We don't have to take it always personal and holding someone accountable. Harsh actions, not holding people accountable for every actions. Someone ignoring us. Sometimes we get our feelings hurt, and you know, I've hurt people's feelings because I haven't sought them out or said hi. It's never intentional. I wouldn't do that intentionally. But sometimes we get busy, we get caught up in stuff, and sometimes we can, you know, love can overlook, give us some grace. I love grace. I love the fact that God extended grace to me and forgave me. And we're going to read a verse here later that says that we are to forgive others. And if we don't, what does that do? God won't forgive us, right? And sometimes we need to allow that love to overlook some of those things. I'm not talking about serious habitual type sins. That's not what I'm talking about. Being in a bad mood, sometimes people are having a bad day, and sometimes we need to allow them to have those things. So this covering a multitude of sins, giving grace, we want grace. I love grace, but sometimes I am stingy with giving it to others, and that's part of what love is about. And then it goes on talking about love, that it will cover a multitude of sins, but it also talks about here using hospitality. And the word there has to do with being friendly and generous with one another. And isn't it interesting? It goes on and it says, without grudging, right? You ever done something for somebody and then went and complained about it? I've done it. I have. It may have been loving and doing it, but it sure wasn't loving and griping about it, was it? And have you ever been in a situation where you've done something nice for someone and then you gripe about it and they hear whether they hear you or it gets back to them? I've had that happen. And it was good that it happened because I try really hard not to do it anymore because, A, I'm told if I do it and don't want to do it, does it really benefit anybody? If I don't want to do it, I shouldn't do it. But we should be friendly and generous. It says this in John 3, 17, but whosoever hath the world goods and see his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. And this compassion is compassion with love. Jesus, because he loved people, had compassion. I love the verses in the New Testament, in the Gospels specifically, when it says that Jesus saw someone and had compassion. That's because of his deep love for that person. And when we see somebody that we could help and we have compassion because we love them, we should help them. And if we're where we can and don't, that's not a good thing. How dwelleth the love of God in him if we're not helping and loving one another? My little children, let us not love in word only, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth, in action. The agape word love actually is an action word. For God so loved, right? That was a great feeling. It was a feeling, but God so loved the world that it made him do something. For God so loved the world, he sent, right? That's the action. Sent his son to do something about our sinful condition. And then Peter says this. He says, finally, brethren, be ye all of one mind. And what is that mind? Philippians, the second chapter, says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ, right? So we're not going to think the same things. There's lots of things we're not going to agree upon. But we can agree upon godly things. We can be of one accord and one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brethren. I like this, be pitiful. And that word, we don't use that much. It means be tenderhearted, having compassion when somebody needs something. Be courteous. Sometimes just loving somebody is just being kind to them. Not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, but counterwise blessing. Bless that person. Be kind. Be compassionate. Be tenderhearted. Knowing that ye are therefore called, that ye should inherit a blessing. God is going to bless us. We should be willing to bless others. Let him eschew evil and do good. Shun evil. Stay away from evil. Do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it, or pursue peace. Love is what brings peace. When you know Jesus Christ, we have love of the Father, and Romans 5th chapter says that because we're justified, we have peace with God. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus and said this, we're to love one another, and he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamoring and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. These are the things we shouldn't do. What we should do is be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So putting that love into action. Sometimes God will bring someone in our life and they're kind of difficult, and we want to avoid that person because we don't want to have to deal with them. And maybe that's the very person we should seek out. So we can learn that loving even those that are difficult to us. I didn't look up the verse, but it's in Corinthians. The Apostle Paul used it and said that we need to be careful how we treat one another for the brother for whom Christ died. I think that if we could see each other bathed in the blood of Christ and the love of God, that it would make it easier for us to be gracious and generous, tender-hearted, kind one to another. So we are to pray seriously, love fervently, and give graciously. This give, this gift, it says here in verse 10, 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift. Now, that's talking, when we read what it's talking about here, even so minister the same one unto another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, if any man have the gift of speaking, speaking gifts, and we're not talking gifts as in miraculous gifts, we're just talking about gifts and abilities. Let him speak the oracles of God. Let him speak the principles of God. I appreciated what Brother David said this morning. You know, when we have those kind of conversations, it's important what the Bible says. It's not important what I believe. Now, I'm going to tell you what I believe, but I hope that's based upon this, right? Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. So, you know, if I believe something different than the Word of God, I hope you don't believe what I believe. I hope you don't follow me. But God has given us different kinds of gifts. And one of those, it talks here in verse 11, as speaking kind of gifts. And use that as if God is speaking through you. And if any man minister, let him do it of the ability which God giveth, or a serving gift. So that covers two very big groups of gifts, those who are servers and those who have the ability to speak and to talk and to teach. And we all have, even in speaking, I think the Lord has blessed me to speak. But you know what? When I get one-on-one sometimes, there's some people who are really good at witnessing one-on-one. That's not me. I can, but boy, that's not, it doesn't come easy. I have to really, really work at it. And so, you know, our gifts, even a specific gift, can even be more niche than that. And we have people that have gifts like in singing and all kinds of different talents. So we're talking about talents and abilities. In Romans, it explains this a little more. It says, having then gifts or talents and abilities differing according to the grace that he has given us, whether they be prophecy, let us prophesy, or not prophecy as in future, but in explaining, revealing the word of God, according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Let's not get ahead of God just because we have talent. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So he's talking about three very basic things: praying, loving, and now he's talking about using our gifts for the service of the Lord. And God has given us all different gifts, and one of the things that we need to do is try to identify the kind of gift we have. And sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes we see others and we want what they have. We kind of get jealous. Some people, I am blessed by those who can sing, and always thought what an incredible way to share the gospel and to encourage someone in song. I have zero gift in singing. I can't hold a tune. I'm not good at it. And that's okay. The Lord has blessed me in other things. And what I need to do is find out what the Lord has blessed me in and use that for his service. And each one of us has ability and talents that we can use to further the cause of Christ. In Romans 12, verse 3, the verse above it says what we just talked about. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Sometimes we have a talent and we think, oh man, I'm just really, you know, we need to be humble about, it's not me, it's about what God can do through us. But to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man, every one of us, man, woman, child, has talents given to us the measure of faith. Romans 12:6. Jesus used a parable. And a parable is something we know about an earthly story to teach a heavenly or a spiritual lesson. And in this story, it's talents. And the talents, sometimes we get that confused because in the English it says talents, but it's actually money that that this man traveling to a far country, Jesus says this, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods." So these people are called servants. They are to do a work for him, and then he's going to go off and they're to serve him. It's kind of what Jesus did, right? Now, we can talk about money. I think God gives us money. I do it through working, through I do it through using my gifts, my talents, my abilities. And so I think that this can be equated to using our abilities and talents for the Lord. And he delivered unto them some money, and they were to put it to good use. God has given us, we've read the verses, some abilities, some talents. We're to put it to good use. And there is one that got five, and another one got two. This is verse 15. Another one got one. And to every man according to his servility. And then he went off. He's gone. Jesus went to heaven, right? So he's gone. But he's going to come back. And the one with five, what did he do? He used it, right? He used it. The one with two, what did he do? He doubled. He used it. Jesus has left us here and given us by grace, the other word, other phrase is measure of faith. He's given us some abilities, some things that we can do in his service, in our life, to benefit us, to benefit his work. And the one that had one, verse 18, tells us what he did. But he that had received one went and dug in the earth and hid the Lord's money. He didn't do anything with it, right? He hid it. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. You know what? The Lord is going to come back, and there is going to be a reckoning for us with all we've done. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, I'm not sure which verse, but it says that we're going to have to give an account, children of God, at the judgment seat of Christ, of everything we've done, whether it be good or bad. There's going to be a reckoning. And who do you want to be like? His Lord said unto him that had five talents and two talents. This is two verses. They are identical. Verse 21 and 23, what he says to him that had five, and what that him that had two, and they both doubled it. Then he had 10, then he had four. It isn't who has the most. It's who uses what the Lord has given us, right? Remember what it said? He gave five, he gave two, he gave one, each to their ability, right? There are some preachers that do mission work and teach in schools and do like 50 million things, and they have a lot more ability, things that God's going to require of them. And whatever God requires of me, I should do with the talents. Whatever he requires of you, we don't compare ourselves to one another in our ability, because he's given us different talents. Sometimes that's hard to do. We look at someone else and say, man, if I could just do that, or if I could. God has blessed you with your ability. And whatever that accomplishes, you need to use it for the Lord's service. And he said unto both, verse 21 and 23, and this is what he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You used what I have given you. Thou hast been faithful over a few things." God didn't expect them to do everything. They were required to take care of what he gave them. One had five and one had two. They weren't to go and steal from each other, not to go and make the other one do a certain way. Sometimes we're so busy helping others, trying to tell them what to do for the Lord, that we're not doing using our abilities and our talents. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy kingdom. What an incredible thing when we serve the Lord. We've been talking about baptism and obedience and serving the Lord and His church. And that's where God gives us the ability to use our talents. And it's through His church that He's going to select His bride from those who are faithful and doing the things that He has called us to do. And then we go on and we find in verse 26, His Lord answered and said unto the one that had won, right? Thou wicked and slothful servant. What did He do with the one? He hid it, right? He didn't use it. And I think the parallel is how many of us have talents that we could be using for the Lord and we hide them. We don't do the things that we could serving the Lord. Peter says the end is at hand. Jesus is coming back. And whether Jesus comes back in my lifetime or I die to go be with the Lord, either way, these are things that I should be doing. Praying seriously, loving fervently, and giving graciously. Being obedient, using my talents. And it goes on and it says, why did Peter tell us to do these things? Praying seriously, loving fervently, giving graciously. So that God in all things, and we've been talking about this year in 2025, may be glorified through Jesus Christ. God can be glorified if we'll pray seriously, love fervently, and serve graciously, give graciously of our talents and our abilities. In closing, if the pianist and song leader will come forward. So he says, so that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And then at the very end, he says, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. How we worship and how we serve the Lord is through these talents that God has given us so that God can be glorified and that He can have praise and dominion. You know, you look at this world and there's not a lot of dominion for God in this world. But does He have dominion over your life? See, that's the thing. So often we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I look around, I see a lot of people in this world not doing the will of the Father, but I can't make them do. The only person that God's will in earth as it is in heaven, the only person that prayer applies to is me. I need to be doing the will of God on earth. And I do that by that praying and loving and serving God, knowing that He shall return. Let's all stand. Pianists and song leaders already ready. What page you got for us?